Coach P's perspective.
Serve God, work hard, family coaching, play my part. Faith is something that I use every day, game changing moves. Sit back, relax, and listen. Inspiration is my mission. Twitch, got your back, Coach 96, we do the most. PCO be in my brain, CSL is in my veins. Ain't no stopping or no blocking, heaven's where I aim. In order to succeed, we cannot be lazy. Repping Jesus all the time, and yeah, we're going crazy.
Hey, family and friends. Hey, this is Coach Chad Parks here with another episode of Coach P's Perspective, where we talk about coaching, inspiration, and faith. Today's message I want to share with you ponders this question: who is in your corner? And before I get to that, I just want to say thank you to everyone who has, you know, jumped on your iTunes account, given us a 5-star rating, left a review. Awesome. I mean, humbling. A number of people have sent me messages, you know, text messages, Instagram, things like that, talking about how, you know, the last few episodes have spoken to their situation, to their life, and, you know, glory to God on that. And so I believe we all have gifts, talents, and abilities and things that we should be using to pour into the life of others. You know, and for me, that is one of my goals with Coach P's Perspective. I want to be able to bring you wisdom that's actionable. I want to be a light that can shine in someone's life. And every one of us have the opportunity, every one of us have a platform to do that in one way or another. So periodically, I want to go through and read some of these reviews. And the review that I chose to read today is actually from someone I know. Some of these are from people I don't know, some people I do. And this is from my good friend, Robert Carver. And I chose this one today because, first off, it's great, humbling. But second, it goes with the message I want to share with you. So Robert says this: get Coach P in your corner. I have partnered with Coach Parks and worked together with several professional and amateur MMA athletes who I represent as their manager slash agent. Oh, and let me insert here that he is one of the best MMA managers and agents in the nation, probably in the world. He works with a number of UFC fighters, guys on different levels, and I've been around a lot of managers and agents. Robert's just next level. He's a man who truly cares. Anyway, all right, back to this. We've been on road trips, we've won championships together, and we've worked through losses together. Not only is this podcast, his book, and Quick Mindset Minutes on social media fantastic, they also showcase the type of human he is. He doesn't just talk it, he lives it. I highly recommend subscribing and giving a listen. As a seasoned leader, I still come away with new insight and ideas to implement in multiple facets of life every time. TCOB. Robert, thank you so much for that outstanding review. Like I said, I'm humbled, blessed. I'm happy to call you a close friend. And so, you know, Robert and I, because this ties to today's message, you know, he's highly successful in the financial advising world, and then does his MMA career on the side, and he's highly successful in that. So the man is just a top-notch human being and a leader. But as he said in this review, you know, we've been on the road together a lot, and we've been in the corners of fighters a lot. So today, you know, the message is, who is in your corner? And man, we all need people to be in our corner in life. So here's how I originally thought of this. And there's a chapter in my book, which is called Game Changing Moves, and it's entitled Who is in Your Corner? So that's where these thoughts come from. But as a coach, so, you know, I've been wrestling since I was probably like 4 or 5 years old. My dad's a National Hall of Fame wrestling coach. So I grew up around the sport, right? He was a football coach, a wrestling coach. I've been around it. But wrestling coaches, literally during a tournament, you know, they're on the corner of the mat. So they're sitting in a chair in the corner of the mat and they're coaching. So they're a corner man, essentially. In the sport of MMA, mixed martial arts, or like in boxing, you have coaches that are over in the corner and they're, you know, helping deliver instruction, a number of things that they do. They're corner men. So I've thought a number of times about what are my jobs as a coach, right? So I've been a wrestling coach for 17, 18 years now. I went right into that after I finished my competitive career. I don't want to just do something and not truly put thought into it. I don't want to just do something the way everyone else has always done it. And especially with MMA, there's been a number of times I was driving back, you know, we may not have finished at midnight and it was a long drive home. You know, sometimes the fighters are staying in hotels and sometimes we do, but there are other times it's been within driving distance. So I'm driving back home and I'm really thinking, what is my job as a corner man? Why am I there? Because here's the deal. Once we go into competition for wrestling, MMA, whatever it is, okay, if you're a coach, And this is going to apply to everybody, not just coaches. But if you're a coach, once we get to the actual competition, the hay's kind of in the barn. Your athletes are practiced. They know their techniques. They know their systems, what they're supposed to do, hopefully. They've been training really hard. They should be in great shape. So all these things have been taken care of. And then when it's go time, it's kind of like a teacher handing out the test, and now the student's taking the test. Your athlete is out there taking the test. And there are some things that we can do whenever we're over in the corner. But honestly, and it reminds me of this. My dad told me when I very first started coaching, he said, you're going to be more tired after a weekend of coaching wrestling than you were as an athlete who was actually at the wrestling. In my mind, I thought, no way. Absolutely no way. Went to my first wrestling tournament as a head coach. Maybe I was an assistant coach. I don't know. Anyway, coached a weekend. And on Sunday, I was just melted. On Sunday, I woke up, just body hurt, my head hurt, everything, right? So now I was like, okay, my dad was right. Whenever you're wrestling, you're worried about your matches. And you're into it for your teammates and things like that. But you're mostly worried about your matches. As a coach, like, you're mentally and emotionally involved in every single match. And in high school wrestling, we have 14 weight classes. So I have 14 kids wrestling all day long. And the more they win, the more matches they wrestle. Or if they lose, maybe they come through a bunch of matches on the backside. But you are mentally and emotionally involved. And physically, you're moving around. And, you know, all those things affect you. So when you wake up on Sunday, like, you are taxed. You're just tired. Sometimes, you know, we're driving home on Saturday night, and you're feeling it. And usually adrenaline drives you through. You know, it carries you through. But the next day, that adrenaline's gone, and so you feel beat up, all right? But as a coach, you know, what are we doing whenever we're over there in the corner? So I came up with a list of five things, and I don't always use five, but I like to use 3 to 5 points to be able to get my messages across. And I think these are things that people can remember. And it's kind of how my own brain works. So I have five things right here when it comes to who is in your corner and how this applies to us as a coach, how this applies if you're an athlete, how this applies to literally every area of life. And I've said this before, I'll say it many times, principles are principles. They apply everywhere once you know them and you understand how to use them. Okay, so starting off with number one, this is if you were the corner man or the coach, okay? Here are five things that you need to be doing, or here are five jobs that you have. Number one, provide confidence. A big part of what you do is providing confidence. So I'll give you an example. Whenever I was in college, Coach Thompson, my college coach, just a spectacular coach and man, highly successful. And he had a great way of building relationships. He had a great way of doing many, many things, all right? So for me, man, I try to implement a lot of what Coach Thompson taught me. And it's not like he was trying to teach me that. He was just being him, right? He was just being a great coach. But I'm able to look back and see those and utilize those. When Coach Thompson came and walked into the wrestling room, or when he came and stood by you before a wrestling match, you literally gained a sense of confidence. And, you know, I can remember a lot of occasions, but Coach Thompson often would come and stand by me and talk to me. And he was great at, like, keeping you relaxed, telling funny jokes. And usually they were silly dad jokes, you know, but you're intense, you're getting ready to go out and compete. And then Coach Thompson tells a silly dad joke, and all of a sudden you're laughing. Well, now you're relaxed. You're going to go out and compete better. Okay. It also provides a sense of confidence. This is a man that, for me, I would run through a wall for. So when somebody's your coach and you care about them, they developed a relationship, that's how you feel about them. Okay. So I remember he would do that. Sometimes, you know, he might, like, shake my arms out, you know, kind of rub or massage my arms, like we often do with our athletes, our wrestlers, get that blood flowing in there, get the lactic acid, you know, kind of moved out. So Coach Thompson would do that, again, providing confidence. One of the funniest times to me was, I think it was the very first time I made the finals of a college tournament. Okay, and we're up in Iowa somewhere. And I'm getting loose, I'm getting warmed up. Coach Thompson comes over and he's talking to me, and he reaches in his pocket and he pulls out some jelly beans. And he says, hey, eat a couple of these, they're gonna give you energy. And I remember, like, I looked at him, and I'm a nutrition nerd. And I don't really eat candy much, but I do like jelly beans. Anyway, so Coach Thompson, like, looks at me. He's being dead serious. And, you know, I'm looking at him, and I'm trying not to laugh. And so I grab a couple of jelly beans, and I eat them. And literally, like, 30 seconds later, this is the placebo effect, right? All of a sudden, Coach Thompson said these were going to make me stronger. Like, 30 seconds later, I felt energetic and strong. I don't think it was a sugar boost. I think it was just the placebo effect. I think it was Coach Thompson told me. And so in my mind, it just hit and I believed it. And I went out and I wrestled great and I won the tournament. it wasn't because of the jelly beans, but what happened was I really gained a sense of confidence when Coach Thompson did that. Okay. If you are a coach, if you're a great corner man, you're there to bring confidence. Whenever I'm with my MMA fighters, I'm not a striking coach. You know, I'm a wrestling coach, grappling coach, strength conditioning guy, and mindset coach, all these things. So whenever we're backstage and my athletes are getting warmed up for a fight, you know, I'm not the one who's going out there. I'm not the one who's holding pads and having them strike and do things like that. We always have someone else doing that. Okay. Sometimes I may jump in, I may pummel with them or do a little grappling with them, whatever. But really a big part of why I'm there is going to be the cage side instruction. And then just to provide a sense of confidence, because I've built a relationship with these athletes and they feel more secure and confident whenever I'm in the room with them. All right. And I know that feeling because I had it for years and years and years as a competitive athlete, whenever I had a coach there that I cared about. So as a coach, you've got to really get to know your athletes too. What makes them tick? Do you need to loosen them up? Do you need to get them more serious? Do you need to get them focused in? You know, I have wrestlers, and I think back over the years, there are wrestlers who could walk out on the mat and wrestle without me probably and be fine. Okay. And sometimes really good ones. All right. Sometimes I have really good wrestlers who four matches before they're up, they need me by their side. I might be coaching another match and they're like tapping on my shoulder, coach, I'm up in four matches. And as soon as I get up, like they are right there, shoulder to shoulder. They don't want me walking off. They need me right there beside them. I have other wrestlers that have said, hey coach, will you pray with me before my matches? Had a kid a couple times state champion. We always had to pray before his matches. Okay. Get to know your athletes. What makes them tick? What makes them work? And when you do those things, it provides a sense of confidence for the athlete. And if you want them to walk up there and perform their best, that's what they have to do. All right. So that was lesson number one, or that was kind of our job number one as a corner man, as a coach, provide confidence for people. Number two, deliver instruction. All right. So this one's kind of tricky. Now, I'm a huge believer in, as a coach, whenever we're delivering instruction, make sure that every word matters. Make sure you're deliberate. Make sure the words count. Don't yell things just to yell things. There's no reason to scream and yell. There are times I get intense in matches and I may be yelling a little bit. Sometimes MMA, especially if I'm yelling instruction, because your cage side, you're down lower than the athlete. It's so loud in the arena a lot of times and you're trying to get the instructions to the athlete. Okay. Wrestling is the same way, so especially if we're at a big tournament or something and you're having to like literally raise your voice so they can hear you, but giving instruction that matters, not just yelling things like, hey, let's go. That's just wasted. All right. They need to focus. They need to be in the moment, but it's very easy for me if, you know, let's say my wrestler is on top of someone and maybe, you know, getting ready to pin them. I can say, move to your right. Crawl your left fingers out. I can give them like these little tips and tricks that literally work in the moment to help them finish a move, to help them seal the deal, to get a pin, those type of things. All right. And there's not a lot of break in the action in wrestling. So I want every word I say to count. I never bring negatives. You know, in the sport of wrestling, sometimes you're going to hear people say like, you know, one, not two. So one wrestler's on top, the other, you just say my wrestler's on top, the other guy's on bottom. And the coach may yell one, not two. And what he's saying is give up an escape. Don't give up a reverse. An escape's worth 1 point. Reverse is worth two. But that's silly. I'm not going to yell that to my athlete. Okay. Coaches, don't do that. It's dumb. All right. I want to give him actual instruction. So I want to say ankle and knee. I want to say, you know, good breakdown, chop the arm. I want to give him, sometimes we don't want to give away what we're doing. So we have code names for things, but I want to give him legitimate instruction. I want to give him what to think about, not what not to think about. Okay. So don't think about an elephant. You're going to think about an elephant, right? That's cliche, but it's true. So I want to tell him exactly what I want him to think about. I don't want to throw a negative out there. So our job is to deliver instruction, be calm, cool, collected, useful information. And I said it earlier, you know, once the athlete's out there going, like they're actually in the testing phase. So I don't want to be a distraction on the side. I want to make sure that if I'm on the side, it's supportive. And if there's a break in the action, they can look over at me. If we're MMA and we're in between rounds, they can come over. I can deliver some very calm, cool, collected instruction and then get them back out there because they're in the middle of the battle. They're in the heat of the battle at that time. Okay. So if you are a corner man, if you're a coach, your job is to deliver instruction to people. and do it in a way that is simple, that is effective. And if you are good at what you do, and if you know what you do, you can break it down. All right. So if you look at college football, and Mike Leach, you know, sort of a madman in college football, but he has this air raid system, and you got coaches, you know, around college football, NFL, whatever, and lower levels that sometimes have just these huge playbooks that they have on the side and a million things in them. And then you got Mike Leach, who literally like holds a napkin and writes little notes on the napkin and has a few things written on there, and that's it. He has been able to simplify his system, which looks incredibly, you know, incredibly complex. I'm sure it is complex, but the man knows it so well that he's the one who has to know all the things. With his athletes, he has simplified it so they don't have to know a million things. Guess what? They can play harder. They can play faster. Now Coach Leach has a coaching tree that is just incredible with all these guys that are out there as head coaches and offensive coordinators all around the nation, all different levels. NFL coaches that are now implementing his systems, and he's being able to take complicated and make it simple. So if you're a coach, if you're a corner man and you deliver instruction, get to know what you do and get to know it really well and be great at it so that you can deliver simple instruction and then make sure you're doing it in a very efficient manner. All right, so number three for a corner man, another one of your jobs, administer encouragement. This is so huge, okay? Anybody can be a negative Nelly. Anybody can go out there and see the glass half empty. And I'm not talking about fluff, okay? Here's what I'm talking about. Words matter. The things that you say matter. And so this year at the state wrestling tournament, okay, this is just a good example. One of my coaches, one of my assistant coaches, one of my close friends, we're sitting there. We do not have an athlete up at the time, and we're standing by Matt. We're watching this match, and we see a kid who's a senior lose his last match, and he doesn't play since a tournament, which if you've ever been a wrestling coach, it's, man, when they're done, and it's tough, okay? They didn't reach their goal. It's heartbreaking. This kid loses, and I'm sure that his coach is a good guy. I'm sure that his coach was just emotional, and sometimes we let emotions get the best of us. But the kid's walking off the mat, and right now, like, his wrestling career is over. He needs somebody to put their arm around him and encourage him, okay, or just to be there for him. Instead, his coach, like, starts yelling at him about everything he did wrong and just berates the kid for 35 seconds right there at Matt's side and then grabs him and is walking away screaming and yelling at him. The kid wasn't hearing a word he was saying. He didn't need that at that time, man. So one of our jobs as a coach, as a corner man, is to administer encouragement to people. Make sure that the words that you're saying are going to build somebody up, not tear somebody down. There are times, and I'll get to this in a little bit, you know, where we got to be like straightforward about things, but letting athletes know that we care about them. You know, we have a rule with our athletes. Whether they win or lose, we don't talk to them right after they compete, okay? If they win, you know, we're excited, we're maybe fist pump, whatever, high five them as they come by or, you know, pat them on the back, but we don't stop and talk to them at that time. So that's if they win. If they lose, we don't stop and talk to them at that time. All right. May pat them on the back again if they walk by. But everyone is highly emotional after a competition, highly emotional. And so sometimes as a coach, I don't want to share something, especially if they lost, out of emotion and say something stupid because I'm mad or I'm upset. My emotions got the best of me. The athlete's not going to hear it anyway. Most athletes are harder on themselves than anybody else can be. All right. Most people are. Most people want to be good at what they do, and so they're harder on themselves. So at that point, we need a cool-down session, okay? So the athlete goes one way, we stay, continue to coach, and there's a cool-down period. Later on, we can come and talk rational, and if there's something that needs to be fixed, we can talk about it, we can fix it. Here's exactly what we're going to do technically, and then the next week we'll work on that in practice. And then we can be encouraging, all right? If the athlete has more competition that day, you know, we have a rule. And you can substitute whatever number you want here. But let's say five minute rule. You have 5 minutes to sulk. Things didn't go right. You got beat. You got 5 minutes to sulk and to let it hurt. And then we're going to suck it up and we're over it and we're moving on because we have another match coming up. We have another competition coming up. The next play's coming up. Whatever sport it is that you're in. In life, man, sometimes you get beat up. Things happen. Okay. Like right now, we're in this COVID-19, and so people are getting beat up mentally, they're getting beat up financially, whatever. Sitting and sulking doesn't do anything for us, okay? So as a coach, I want to make sure that I'm going to tell them, hey, man, you got 5 minutes to let this hurt. And then we're going to get over it and we're going to get ready for the next one. And then I'm going to be an encourager. Use your words in a positive manner. Use your words to build and not tear down. Words are so powerful. They're so impactful to the heart and to the mind. They can energize you. Like I said earlier, they can provide confidence. So your job is to provide encouragement. If I'm coaching, you know, let's say that we're in the middle of an MMA fight, all right, and it's in between rounds. I'm not going to tell my guy, like, hey, you won that first round, you whatever. We're just going to talk about, hey, here's a couple things that we need to do for this next round, all right? But I may have to encourage them. Hey, let's go, baby. You're in great shape. Nobody works as hard as you do. You know, maybe I saw that they were getting a little bit tired or whatever. It's just my job to be there and provide some encouragement, okay? I'm going to get in their head. I'm going to build them up so that way they walk out there feeling good and they feel confident. Tell me that people, anyone you know, can't use a little extra encouragement. And those people that are out there that are great at providing it, dude, they are a light. Everybody wants to be around that person. Everybody is drawn to that person. As a coach, make sure that's you. Whenever you walk into the room, whenever you walk into for me, like my wrestling room, or if you walk backstage with your MMA fighter, if you walk onto the football field, if you walk into your office, you know, let's say whatever, you're not in sports, you walk into your office. Do people feel confident? Do they feel encouragement whenever you walk in? That's who you got to be. That's one of your jobs. All right, so recap before I move on to the last two. As a corner man, I'm going to provide confidence. I'm going to deliver instruction. I'm going to administer encouragement. Those are three. Here's number four. Tell it like it is. Now, when I say this, I'm going to encourage, like I said earlier, but I'm not going to sugarcoat things. Okay? If there's something that needs to be fixed, we got to get it fixed. If I see an issue, I'm going to address the issue. But if I address an issue or bring up an issue, I'm also going to help provide a solution. Because at that point, I've already talked to my other coaches, or maybe we're going to work it out right there with the athlete. If you come with a problem and you don't have a solution, you're just griping. You're just complaining. Okay? Bring a problem, bring or address an issue, but have a solution or an action plan ready so that you can actually do something about it. All right? If I have an athlete that's gassing out, maybe they're going out and, you know, almost every match, maybe they're whooping people, but then all of a sudden, every time they get into a tough match, they're gassing out and they're losing in the third period. Well, that's a problem. That's a real issue. So we're going to address that. So I'm not going to sugarcoat it. At some point, I'm going to pull the athlete aside and we're going to have a discussion about that. And then we're going to take a look at their lifestyle. What time are they going to bed? How much sleep are they getting? What's their nutrition looking like? Are they managing their weight well? Okay. What's going on in their, you know, in their life? Sometimes it's an emotional thing, whatever. We're going to dissect all those areas and then we're going to come up with a game plan to fix those areas so that whenever they walk out, they can wrestle hard for all three periods and more if needed, and shape's not even an issue. Okay. So that's just one example. If there is something that is not right, let's make sure that we don't sugarcoat it. Sometimes you got to come in as Mike Tyson. Sometimes you got to come in like Tony Dungy, all right, more calm, cool, and collected. Some athletes, you got to come in a little bit fired up, and it gets them going. Again, get to know your athlete. If you're a boss, get to know your employees. If you're a parent, get to know your children. Everybody reacts to different things. Figure it out, and then bring that to them. You can be you still, and often laugh, because as a human being, I'm a little Tony Dungy. I'm a little Mike Tyson, all right? I try to be... Or I think it's more effective if I can bring out Tony Dungy more, be calm, cool, collected, all right? But there's definitely that explosive side of me that's a little bit Mike Tyson, and sometimes that needs to come out whenever I'm working with my athletes, okay? Different people are motivated differently. Figure it out and then bring that to them. So tell it like it is, but make sure that you're building up, that you're not tearing down, okay? Make sure that any issue that is addressed also has some sort of solution. And again, maybe you're a boss and you have, maybe there's a team that you're working with, all right? There's multiple people on this, they're working on a project and there's an issue. Well, sometimes you're going to literally work with them and get their opinions, and you guys together can develop a solution. If you're an employee and you're going to your boss, don't just go complain. Here's an issue, and then here are some ideas of ways that we could fix this or we can make this better, all right? Tell it like it is. But make sure that whenever you're doing that, it's encouraging and that it adds like actual value. Okay. So that way we're not just complaining and moaning. All right. Number five. This is the last one for as a corner man, as a coach. Be there, win or lose. Don't celebrate with people when they win and then walk away and not be there when they lose. You can't be there in the good times and abandon someone in the bad times. All right. That man. So this goes for coaches. This goes for parents. Every action matters. Everything we do matters, right? Everything speaks. So I got to look at body language, and I got to do this for myself as a coach. I got to look at body language. If my athlete wins and I'm ultra motivated and pumped and fist bumping them, or, you know, if I pat them on the back or give them a hug because they win, I'm all excited. That's okay. But if they lose and I get mad and I wave my hand at them and I turn and I walk away and I don't talk to the athlete, what am I showing them about what I care about? I'm not saying I care about you. I'm saying I care about wins and losses. If you're a parent and your kid wins and you get ultra pumped and you know, you love them, or that at least displays love, and then they lose and all of a sudden you scream and you yell at them, or you just walk out of the gym and you give them a cold shoulder, again, that displays a lack of love. All right. So the way that we treat people, the way that we're like literally just there for people, matters. And you can't be there for somebody's highs and not their lows. Be there with them through the whole thing. It doesn't mean that you're not a human being. It doesn't mean that emotions don't play into this, because they do, but you got to be very intentional about it. Okay. There are times I've been frustrated with an athlete because maybe I didn't feel like they gave full heart, or maybe they did something really dumb out there. Got emotional for a second. Usually I try to reel that back in before we have a discussion. All right. But I don't want to just do the way that my face looks. I don't want to just the way that my shoulders are, or the way that I'm leaning, or, you know, whatever. Body language says a lot. Okay. Be there through the good times, be there through the bad times. That's what you got to do. And we all know that whenever we're going through bad times, that's a really important time for us to have somebody in our corner. That's a really important time for us to know that this person I care about is there, and they are who they say they are, and they're actually going to do for me what they say they're going to do for me. Okay. That person, your corner man, your coach, they may get frustrated at times, but if they really love you, they're going to be there for you, win or lose. You got to give them a little forgiveness. And if you are the corner man, the coach, you got to give the person that you are instructing and helping a little forgiveness. All right. Your actions speak. They tell the person you're working with more than just what you say. What you say matters. Words matter. Okay. But actions matter just as much, if not more. Because it's a verbal language, but then there's also that non-linguistic, the non-verbal actions that speak as well, another form of language. Okay. So those things are going to matter. Sometimes people have highs. Sometimes we just go over, you know, like I said, we hug them, we give them a high five. Sometimes they have lows. We still need to go over and hug them and give them a high five. All right. If you're the corner man or the coach, win or lose, there are many situations where just being there is the thing that makes a difference. You might have to put your arm around their shoulders, and you might have to tell them something positive. You may have to literally just go and just sit down beside them. You know, maybe, you reach over and you just pat them, you know, on the back and say, hey, it's going to be okay. And then you don't even say anything else, but you just sit there beside them. Just that source of confidence that you provide, just knowing that someone is there in a trying time, it's so huge, absolutely so huge. And if they win, same thing. Sometimes, you know, it's like celebrating with them is cool. Sometimes just being there to experience the moment with them is cool as well. So make sure that we're there, win or lose. Now, I want to reach back real quick before I close this out and make a connection. All right. So this is for the corner man. Who is in your corner? Corner man, we're going to provide confidence. We're going to provide or deliver instruction. All right. Those are the first two. Administer encouragement. 3, tell it like it is. 4. And then 5, be there, win or lose. Now in life, in general, a couple questions for you. 1, who is in your corner? Right now, we all need a coach. We all need corner man. We need those people that are going to be there for us, win or lose. We need those people that are going to be there for us right now in these tough times, And then we know we're going to be on the other side whenever things go back to, I don't want to say normal, but whenever we move past whatever this current normal is, and that we kind of get back to regular life a little bit. We need those people that are a solid foundation that are always going to be there for us. They're going to tell it to us straight, but they're going to be there to encourage and lift us up. Who is in your corner? If you don't have somebody, find somebody, reach out. It's amazing how many people are willing to mentor you and be around you. And I've discovered that in the last few years, that there are some really high level coaches or businessmen or just people in general that I admire. And I've reached out to them. And it's amazing how many of those people are willing to respond and willing to mentor you or give you advice. Don't bug them. Just reach out to them. And if they respond, cool. If they don't, they don't. All right. But there are so many high level people that will literally respond to you and end up being in your corner, and you can learn from them all along the way. Okay. So who's your corner man? The other part of this is, whose corner are you in? You need to be in somebody's corner, helping somebody out. Make sure that they know and that they understand that you're always going to be there for them, because we need both. You know, it's kind of like this thing in life where you got to be a leader and you got to be a follower. You need to be a teacher and you need to be a student. Okay, there's two sides of the coin, and we got to play these, you know, this duality, these dual roles throughout our entire lifetime if we're going to continue to grow and reach our potential and be the best that we can be. All right, so we need to be someone's corner man, someone's coach, and we need to make sure that we're being coached. I don't care how successful in life you are, you need to be coached in a few areas. You got to find people who are better than you or more successful than you in those areas and go and study them, get them in your corner. Okay, you need people who maybe you're in entirely different, you know, like I study businessman and business isn't my thing per se, even though I have some businesses, okay? I don't consider myself a businessman. I'm not a CEO of a giant company. I consider myself a coach, right? I'm a dad, I'm a husband, I'm a coach, I'm a friend, I'm these different things, right? But like when it comes to like what I do is work, I consider myself a coach. But I study these other successful people in different areas because I can take what they do and I can apply it to what I do. Principles are principles. They apply everywhere once you know them. Okay, so to be a really good corner man or be a really good coach, make sure that you are always growing all the time as well so that you can pour into others and you can coach them up in a great way. All right, so I'm getting ready to get off here. This has been Who is in Your Corner? And honestly, it's one of my favorite chapters in my book. It's one of the favorite lessons, and it's something I put a lot of thought, effort, energy into. I want you to take and you know, ask yourself, in life in general, how can you provide confidence and who's doing that for you? How can you deliver instruction? Who's doing that for you? How can you be better at it? To whom can you administer encouragement and who's encouraging you? Okay. What times and situations you need to tell it like it is and then provide solutions. And then who can you be there for, win or lose, and who is in your corner, win or lose? All right. Love you guys. This has been another episode of Coach P's Perspective. Who's in your corner? And until next time, love y'all. God bless and peace.
Podcast complete. Now me working overtime. I'm just a vessel for the spirit. When it's in me, then I shine. If the clay gets broken, he makes some whole new pottery. Repent for your sins. Tell Satan to stay up off of me. With a new step. CSL rep. Pop.